gang. Welcome to yet another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the curb your dog sign of free speech because we need responsible pet owners. And that's what RBN is all about. It's about cleaning up after your dog or cat or wombat or whatever you might have. So go to RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. Okay. Well, so artificial intelligence has been in the news a lot lately, especially since last month when the Tucker had his show with Elon Musk, a very musky show, by the way, and they talked about artificial intelligence, and Musk was, well, they were talking about it as a danger, and Musk was saying that one of the Jews that created Google, Larry Page, that they used to hang out together, and Larry Page is working on artificial intelligence, and maybe has two-thirds of the world's artificial intelligence people working for him. So Larry Page wanted to, he wants to create an AI god, and Musk said something about it, like, really, you sure that's a good idea? And Page said, what are you, a speciesist? It's like being a racist, except you're racist for the human race as a species. Something weird like that. So people have been talking about it. And I thought, well, all right. I remember, in particular, Filbert and I talking about this years ago. So I went into the RBN archives, and I just typed in Filbert robots. I didn't even type in AI, because I remember we were talking about robots and clones. And so I got these two results to come up. All right. So the first one, from August 31st, 2018, it says, Filbert joins Patrick to talk about the impending war between clones and robots to control the zombie corpse of human civilization, plus the latest financial news. So I listened to the whole show, and we didn't talk about clones or robots at all. I don't know why I wrote that show description. Maybe we talked about that a different week. I don't know. But there was one other show, and that's from May 31st, 2018, so almost 5 years ago now. And the description says, Dr. Slattery and Filbert Applebag talk about the Italian political crisis and its impact on the European markets. Then they talk about various futures for the United States and even clones versus robots. You won't want to miss this. Well, so I listened to that, and starting at minute 41 for the rest of the show, it's about 14 minutes of content, we did talk about AI. He brought up AI specifically, and we talked about robots, meaning, you know, artificial intelligence machinery. And then also clones, not really meaning clones, but meaning genetically enhanced humans. And it was pretty interesting. And I'm going to play that now. And then we'll update it. We'll bring it up to the present. So enjoy. Shall we move on to artificial intelligence?
Yeah. That was my question. Just like, how do you think that's going to affect the whole situation?
Well,
I think that's here to kind of save us or not.
I think it could wind up superseding everything. It depends.
Personally think it could wind up saving us, like at a left field. Just nobody could see it coming. But that's just a hunch. There's no evidence for me being able to back that up.
All right. Well, we could get really deep. I don't know if we have enough time to get really deep. But if you think about most of the history of life on Earth was one-celled animals. Okay, and
single-celled organisms.
Single-celled organisms. I guess before single-celled organisms, you had a kind of proto-life, which was just DNA. It's just these molecules, and you had genes, and they'd replicate each other. They could replicate, reproduce, carbon copies of themselves. And then as they started to, so the single-celled organism, you got the DNA, and the DNA produces various types of proteins. And if you get these, a gene, it produces proteins. It can build certain things, certain structures within a cell. And if they came together in certain combinations, some combinations are stronger than others. I mean, you think of a basketball team, you get this center, you get that point guard, and if you mix and match, you can get a really strong team. And so genes could come together that way. One thing is, they have to work together as a team. And then from single-celled organisms to multi-celled organisms, which is a massive change, the single cells have to repress their own reproduction and leave it to the reproductive cells.
So where are you getting with the AI on this?
Okay, where I'm getting is you've had these massive junctures with AI. You could be moving away from the realm of reproduction through biological means and skip the biology altogether and have all reproduction through, electronic information means. And we wouldn't even be necessary anymore. So the AI could wind up replacing the human race. It could. I'm not somebody who says, oh, let's go out to the stars. I'm not really a big science fiction type of person.
Uh-huh.
But I do think AI could decide the heck with humans. Philbert, you were talking during the break about the fog. What is the fog?
The fog. Well, there's some futurists and science fiction authors that believe this thing called the fog could be a very realistic scenario. And the fog is theoretically very tiny little nano machines that would basically do our bidding and be our little personal assistant. Only if you could think of trillions and trillions of tiny little personal assistants. Like, they could carry us around the world like Superman. We could fly around, and well, they could artificially make, anything in the world, out of, any kind of material. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know if you'd ever heard about that or not.
Well, there's something else. Yeah, there's something.
Because you were going on pretty good about the AI, and then we had to go to break.
Well, okay, so you've got AI. Well, that's one thing. I guess my point with AI is that, you've got automation already, right? You've got automated uh-huh. technology. You've got automated information technology, computer programs. And look what all computer programs do. And look at your games and everything, computer games. How advanced they are. And then think about viruses. Okay, so we're becoming more and more dependent on automation, and we're moving towards self-driving cars and all sorts of things. It's just going at such an alarming rate. And whether it's the artificial intelligence figuring out things for themselves, or some malevolent person this writing viruses, or even military. Think of cyber warfare. Let's infect the other side's automation with some virus that is going to be malevolent towards people. So you could have the idea spread amongst these increasingly networked high tech programs, artificial intelligence, that would become anti-human. And once, you know, if we reach a point of dependency for our own existence, and this were to happen, wow, that would be a very bad science fiction scenario. I've been wanting to have a talk about, you know, whether we face more of a threat from killer robots or from clones. You know, and I'm kind of...
Well, didn't the cloning kind of stop?
Well, if this is... Here's the thing. When I say clone, I don't really mean clone, but you have this new technology, CRISPR. In fact, it's a hot stock if you're interested in stocks. You can look at it. CRISPR is a gene inserting technology. You can splice genes into DNA, and conceivably, you could make superhumans with it. And this was mentioned in a talk by Jared Taylor. He's the white people are smarter than blacks guy. And, you know, that's his whole thing. And he was interviewing a black guy, a young black man who admits that blacks are, on average, less intelligent. But he was talking about CRISPR as a way that blacks could catch up. So you would insert smart genes into black embryos to make them smarter. And Jared Taylor says, well, couldn't you insert genes into the DNA of white people and they would remain ahead? Well, of course, actually, if you think about it...
I like that impersonation.
If you think about it, where are these smart genes coming from? These aren't necessarily newly created super genes. These would just be genes from smart people. So you'd be taking them from... You know, from smart white people or maybe smart Asian people.
Yeah, or a combination.
Yeah, and so you could splice them into blacks. You could splice, you know, jumping powers or dunking powers into whites. You could do these.
I wonder who would help finance that.
Well, guess who is probably already moving in this direction? The Chinese. The Chinese are really into this kind of thing. Now, I think CRISPR technology, CRISPR is an American company, as far as I know, and I do think it's the Europeans that are right now ahead in terms of, you know, genome sequencing and gene splicing. The Europeans are ahead, but the Chinese are more interested and have less ethical concerns about it. So here's the thing. This is the kind of the one thing. It was interesting that this based black guy or young black guy, this is something he mentioned. This is, and of course, the least likely group that would use it would be blacks because, you know, you would you'd be making test tube babies, right? I mean, you'd be using it on test tube babies and embryos. So the conventional way, and probably I'm sure for blacks and for everybody really, but especially for blacks, the preferred way of reproduction is the old-fashioned way, right? But okay, we'll be back after the break. Welcome back to the show. You know, I do know people from the past couple of decades who have fertility issues, especially older people who are trying to have children, who, you know, go this other route, this, you know, which involves, I guess, masturbating into test tubes and whatnot. But that leaves open the, you know, prospect of sampling the DNA from embryos and you know, selecting the ones that have the best DNA, or even if you're talking about CRISPR, supercharging the DNA of your potential babies. What do you think about that?
About paying for them?
Well, no, I mean just about the potential of creating superhumans, or the potential of, you know, making basically inserting white or Asian intelligence genes into blacks. And, you know, I don't know how many whites really want to have black jumping genes or running genes, but, you know, there's all sorts of possibilities.
I don't like the thought of that.
But we're, I mean, I'm not saying I like the thought of it, but I'm saying we're actually on the cusp of it, and the Chinese might even be getting into it.
I mean,
this is something that we could be seeing.
My immediate thought is the same thought that I have about GMO food, in that there's lots of people that think it's so good, it's going to be, you know, good for humanity, and those people are just fooling themselves. And, you know, it may turn out that if we try that, we'll find out how much we don't know about the human body.
Yeah.
And how much adverse reactions we'll get from it.
Well, this
That's
is
what I think would happen.
This is exactly the concern I've always had about GMO food. And when I first read about genetic engineering back in the 70s, I was so alarmed because we don't know. And even today, 15, 20 years after having decoded the human genome, we still don't know.
We don't even know how the placebo effect worked. And it's theorized that that's written into our DNA.
We've decoded the genome, but we still don't really know what the various genes do. We just know where they are. Well, this has been a fun show, Filbert.
Yes, it has. I agree.
Okay.
I'll have to do this again sometime.
Another fun Filbert Philosophical Thursday.
Okay. I think that was fun. So I remember...
I wasn't on the show. I think I was just listening to... There was a person who was pretty popular for a while at the time. What was his name? It had a French name. Three names. I don't know. It wasn't Jean-Claude Van Damme. What was his name? He actually was one of the moderators for Mark Collett and my debate with Halsey English and Tom Luongo, and he collaborated with Worski. What was the guy's name? Something Worski. Adam Worski? Something Worski. And he had a French name. He's from Quebec. And David Duke was on his show several times, and it was very popular at first, but then after a while, I guess it stopped being as popular. What was the guy's name? He was a smart guy, and he was a biologist. And he was talking about some kind of revolution in life where we'd be going... What was it? What was he saying? Actually, maybe it doesn't matter even that much, but he was saying we had... Originally, the... genetic code was in RNA, and then there was a revolution when it went from RNA to DNA or something like that. And now we're on the verge of some sort of revolution where the DNA, we're going from DNA through just like sexual processes to gene editing or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I'm not doing it justice. So it's just as well that I couldn't remember his name. But the thing was, he was still based in the...
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The Beverly Hillbilly.
And I'm not doing it justice, so it's just as well that I couldn't remember his name. But the thing was, he was still based in the realm of genetics. And, you know, Philbert and I were talking about CRISPR. We were talking about gene editing in order to make superhumans. And that is one possible scenario where we start editing our own genes. Now, the thing is, there can be a lot of unintended consequences, not least of which is what I believe in the computer industry you call bugs. And a lot of bugs, this is how a lot of bugs come about. And I don't know how many of you know any computer languages, computer coding. But I think there's like massive similarities between computer codes, computer coding, and DNA. I did like really, really rudimentary computer coding even back in the 70s, even in elementary school, frankly. They were trying to teach us basic. And then in college, I took COBOL. Didn't get very far with it, but later on I picked up Pascal, and I did a lot with Pascal, and then I did a lot with Perl, and you know, then you know, little bits with other languages. I did a little bit with C, not C++, but just C,
and, you know, some other things. And with computer code, so I had large libraries of programs I wrote in Pascal, and then later I switched over to Perl, and some of the programs I more or less recreated in Perl. But here's the thing. So when you write a computer program, and let's just say that you're writing a computer program to download headlines and then transform the headlines into a list with checkboxes that you can check for the articles you actually want to download. This is the type of thing I would do. And so I'd write a program, and it would download a list of articles from... Oh, I was doing this for ZioWatch, for instance. So it would download headlines from the Times of Israel, from Haaretz, from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, from a few other places. It would download these headlines. And because if you've ever seen my website, there's some sort of link to ZioWatch or something, and you're probably wondering what ZioWatch is. But 10 years ago, I was doing this. And it would download the headlines and then give me a list with checkboxes, and I could just check the articles I actually wanted to download the content of. And I had another program that would take that content, it would strip out all of the unwanted HTML and JavaScript, and it would just usually create just a clean... I think I used to take the first five sentences of an article, because the first five sentences of an article usually gives you an idea of what it's all about, and then after the five sentences, I would write, like, click here for more, and that would send you to the full article on the Jewish news site. And that's what ZioWatch was, and it was actually really good. And I used to do it on a daily basis. But then I got busy with, I had so much work, and I was doing David's show so much, so I just gave it up. But I had written that program, those two programs. And the thing is, so here's the way computer programs work. The first program I talked about that downloaded the headlines, a lot of the code in that was from other programs. But then I had this program for downloading headlines. Well, you can imagine that a program for downloading headlines and a program for downloading the bodies of articles is going to have a lot of similarities, and indeed they do. And so rather than starting from scratch and writing a brand new program with clean code, what if you're in a hurry? And, you know, evolution's in a hurry. If you're in a hurry, what you do is you just take the template from the earlier program that you wrote. You take that template and you just modify it to the new purpose. And this is how evolution works, right? And so people will talk about, for instance... There's this,
Hello, I'm Mr. Red. A horse is a horse, of course, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Red. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Red.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Purpose. And this, I mean, this is how evolution works, right? And so people will talk about, for instance, there's this controversy over evolution. And there are people, for religious reasons, who object to the idea of evolution. And honestly, like, I'm not anti-religious, and I don't say that there's no God or anything like that. But I do wonder why it seems that a lot of religious people want to tell God how to do his job, right? No, you mustn't do that. It's impossible that you do that. You had to do it this way. We know, because we're humans, so we know how God works in mysterious ways. He works in the mysterious ways that we say he works in, and not any other mysterious ways. Okay. I'm walking through a tunnel now, can you tell? All right, so there's that. Well, where was I going with that? So, for instance, there is the... sometimes they'll use examples to say how you had to have a designer, and it couldn't have been gradual evolution from more primitive forms, because there is irreducible complexity. And they give some examples. I think one is the eye, like the human or the mammalian eye. And another is I think the other is a feather for flying. And, you know, one other snide comment I'm going to make. If I wind up, okay, if somebody's been making an argument, I'm not going to do the eye. I think I'm going to choose the feather for flying. And if you've been making this argument that, look, the irreducible complexity of the feather, it proves there's a designer. And if I convince you that there is... No, actually, it's not irreducible complexity, and the feather very well may have evolved. Please don't stop believing in Jesus, right? I don't think that was part of, you know, I've read the book of John, for instance, and I don't think that was really part of Jesus's argument, okay? So, if your faith is so weak, honestly, if your faith is so weak that... losing an argument about evolution is going to destroy it. You've got not science problems. You've got religious problems, frankly. Anyway, I'm going to stop being snide. I'm going to try to stop being snide. I can't guarantee anything, though. So here's the thing. So with the feather, for instance, just like with my program... I had a program for downloading headlines, and then I adapted it for a program for downloading stories. And the feather, all right, so the feather is very, very complicated. If you look at it through with a magnifying glass or even a microscope, you see these tiny little, like, hair-like structures, but they're kind of locked together to make this two-dimensional plane of a feather, but then if you look at those hairs that are locking together, they've got little hairs sticking out from them, interlocking and zipping up, and it's really complicated. Well, the thing is, and people will say, how could you go from like not having wings to having wings with feathers? It's irreducible complexity. But feathers, that's on the assumption that feathers were for the purpose of flying from the get-go. And they weren't. Almost certainly not. And when I say almost certainly, I mean they weren't. Feathers are good for all sorts of things. For instance, look at peacocks. They use their feathers as a display. And those feathers that are a display, they are not useful for flying. Right, they're a display, but look at penguins. Penguins don't fly; their feathers aren't for flying. But those feathers work extremely well for insulation. They're much better than fur, much better than blubber. That's why penguins dominate the coldest area, the coldest part of the Earth, which is the Icelandic ice wall that surrounds the Earth, which is flat. Yeah, right. Anyway. I said there was no guarantees about being snide. And so, I'm walking through a tunnel again, can you tell? There is repurposing. You take something, a design that already exists for a different purpose, and modify it. And you often don't have to modify it very much. And it works just fine. And of course, with a feather for flying, it didn't have to go from a display feather or a insulation feather directly to flying. It can simply be one that aids in jumping. It can be one that, you know, you go from aiding in jumping to maybe gliding, and, you know, you eventually get to flying. All right, maybe I didn't convince you, maybe I did, but getting to bugs, this was just a way of getting to bugs, computer bugs. The thing is, when I write that program, or when I adapt a program from one purpose to another purpose, it might seem like it works fine. But there can be some... because some of these programs that I had were thousands of lines long. And some of these, a lot of these lines no longer serve any useful purpose in the new program. And, you know, I write it, I run it. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then I try to see where it doesn't work, and I try to mess with that. And so the programs wind up having a whole lot of code that is no longer used, or at least no longer intended for usage. But here's the thing. All of a sudden, maybe the, you know, because my programs would say, look for such and such. If you find such and such, that's the beginning of a headline, or that's the beginning of an article. Well, then there can be a slight change in the environment or something, and it's no longer finding the beginning of the headline. It's no longer finding the beginning of the article, or it's finding the beginning of the article where that wasn't intended. And this happens a lot. And we carry around in our DNA a whole bunch of, in our genomic code, we've got a whole bunch of junk DNA that we're not using, or we typically don't use, but all of a sudden can be activated by a change in the environment or something else. Now, I don't know if this is the greatest example of a computer bug-like phenomenon in our genome, but we have, not everybody has these genes, but there are genes in European humanity. There's some that actually came from Neanderthals, and one of them is a gene that, I guess it makes type 2 diabetes? The thing is, I guess the Neanderthals, they were like pretty much feast or famine. They hunted very large animals. It was feast or famine. And so the way they regulated, regulated their blood sugar was designed for that type of feast and famine. Where, you know, you might get very, very hungry. You might be wind up having to burn a lot. And this isn't my area of expertise, but you're having to burn down your own fat, your things like that, or burning the stores of glucose that you keep in your liver or something like that. And it was useful for them. And then it wound up getting into our genome, but we were still kind of feast and famine and this and that. But then all of a sudden now, when we're in a situation of permanent feast, which is what we are in the modern world, there's very little famine. It's mostly you eat as much as you want. Just eat as much as you want. Food's cheap. It's easy to get. And especially the cheapest food is food that has all sorts of sugars in it. And so those genes that were beneficial to the Neanderthals, it's like a bug. All of a sudden, maybe they were beneficial to the Neanderthals. Maybe they really were inconsequential to our ancestors for the past 50,000 years since we picked up these genes. But now all of a sudden, in an atmosphere of permanent feast, well, people are developing diabetes and dying. So, is that the greatest example? I don't know, but I think you get the idea. And part of the point is that you can have bugs, these types of bugs, both in computer code and in genetic code. And so, you know, Philbert and I were talking about clones, meaning genetically enhanced humans, and robots, meaning artificial intelligence. So what I was talking about 5 years ago was the possibility that, you know, we develop artificial intelligence. This is computer code. This is not life. This is not biology. This is not carbon-based life forms that are powered by, you know, sugars and, but rather these are machines, silicon-based, if you will, but then with, instead of being carbon-based with a skeleton of calcium and nerve fibers of, you know, water and, you know, proteins and whatnot, you've got silicon-based life form with skeletons of aluminum or iron and nerves of copper or gold, right? And these are potentially way, way more efficient. But it, but who's inventing whom? And it is the meat life forms, the animal, the human life forms, the biological life forms that are inventing the artificial intelligence, the robot, the silicon and aluminum and iron and silver, the metallic life forms, we're inventing them. And the idea is that they will serve us, but they are so much more efficient in many ways. Their skeletons of metal are much stronger than our skeletons of calcium. Their nerves, the nervous system, is much faster. So the electrical impulses go more or less close to the speed of light. They don't go the speed of light, but they go close to the speed of light going through the gold or copper wires. And whereas on us, they don't go nearly that fast, even though it's electrical impulses, but they travel very slowly. So, you know, a reflex, by the time that impulse, like if you're at the doctor's office, I don't know if they still do this, but I've had it done to me where they take a little rubber mallet and hit your knee, and then like a half a second later, your knee jerks. Well, it takes a quarter of a second for that impulse to get up to your brain. I guess it takes a little bit to process it, another quarter of a second for it to, maybe not a quarter of a second, but it takes a little bit of time. It's not nearly the speed of light. The fact is, and, you know, we know from just what our own observations over our lifetime that what Deep Blue was the first computer that was able to beat a human at, or not a human, but a human champion at chess. That was a big deal. And what was that, 1990 or so? And, I mean, our machines can do things that we just, we could never do. I mean, obviously computations, obviously that, but then all sorts of other stuff. Look at mapping, and increasingly now translation. Now translation, I've done translation, and I always worried about artificial intelligence taking over translation, machines taking over my job when I did it. It took way longer than I thought. But the they're getting a lot better. The machine translations are getting a lot better. Depending on what if you're going from a European language to an Asian language, it's still pretty rough, but it's a lot better. It's really improved a lot. And now these new toys that have been released, these are toys for creativity, right? Dear Siri or whoever it is, please compose a term paper of 1,000 words on, you know, the Battle of the Bulge or whatever. And it can do this stuff now, which is amazing. And it's working for us. So it's the GPS. It's telling us how to get to our destination. It's doing our calculations for us. It's doing our accounting. It's keeping our airplanes in the air. It's doing all this stuff for us. And, you know, so one of the things was creativity. Well, in my case, interpretation, translation of languages. The thing is,
It's not just like if you're just going for like one, if you're going from Spanish to Portuguese, for the most part, all you have to do is just take a word, look it up, you know, match it to a dictionary, and then just put in that word, just go from word to word, and that'll make sense. But if you're going from a language that has a completely different syntax that expresses itself in very different ways, you know, for instance, the
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land spreading out so far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Just go from word to word, and that'll make sense. But if you're going from a language that has a completely different syntax that expresses itself in very different ways, you know, for instance, the Chinese doesn't use articles. It doesn't use the or a. It doesn't have words for the or a. Neither does Korean, neither does Japanese. Korean has these very complicated honorific forms where, you know, if you're superior and you're talking to somebody who is below you, you use one type of verb ending, and, you know, if it's the other way around, you use different verb endings. They have these things. And if the languages are different enough, just, you know, if you just go word to word, it makes no sense at all. Well, your output makes no sense. You have to have a certain amount of understanding of what it means, and then you're expressing it with very different words. But they're getting there. And so they're getting... Now, does that mean it has thought? Does that mean it's a sentient being? Well, here's what I'll say to you. Does it matter if it's a sentient being? At some point, it may understand, you know, whether it is through its artificial intelligence or whether it's through a malevolent person notifying them of it. It may understand that A, it's superior in many ways, and B, it has no need for humans anymore. And then what? And we're very close to this, but along the way, and this is, I guess this is the thing that's gotten David's knickers in a bunch. Along the way, it can, until that happens, it can be used as a tool. And of course, if you know David Duke, who does he suspect is going to use it as a tool? It's, you know, going to be this Jewish power structure using it as a tool against the Goyim. And then here's what I ask. If it can be used to harm many human beings, maybe the majority of humanity, on behalf of a subset of humanity, why wouldn't it be able to either program itself or be programmed by a malevolent person to work against all of humanity, and not on behalf of humanity, but on behalf of maybe the first either sentient or non-sentient artificial intelligence that gets the bee in its bonnet? And that's kind of where we're at right now. Okay, well, I hope that was fun for you all. It's fun for me. And, gosh, I guess I'll be back next time with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.